Let's sing a little chorus. You know, everybody should have their mind on doing something for the Lord. Because I guess we do. I trust that we do. But New Year's Eve, and with that, a lot of people have service right on up till midnight. And they call it watch services. Whereas with us here, we watch all the time. We watch day and night. The Bible said watch and pray. And we're always watching. So, I as a rule don't have watch services. But we do have to acknowledge that tonight is an unusual night. And probably I'll comment a little bit on it. Let's sing this little chorus together, Brother Taylor. Can you sing, I love him? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing it again? I love him. Because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Chapter, every word, every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. Every promise every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And you're trusting the word. Can you sing it again? For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. So we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book is mine. You love the Lord? All right, you can be seated. I got some prayer cloths up here that they're wanting us to know, and I know. Pray over them. I'd like to say that we're glad to have you here tonight. It's always a pleasure to have you come and be with us. And always a pleasure to minister to you. I have to confess that I lets time slip up on me tonight. I've been off for a while today and talking to some folks about the Lord, and we've been getting in some real good, wonderful thing. When I came back, I decided to run down the basement just for a minute or two and say hello to some of the fellas I have been down there today. And of course, it was a little late, and when I got down there, there's only one person down there. So I thought I'd talk for a minute, leave and come back. And as usual, when I got to talking, there was another one and another one and another one. And after a while, I had a whole house full. And I kept wondering how that could be. I said, I thought today was payday and everybody'd be gone. And I'd forgotten tonight was church night. I'd remembered it through the day, but when I got over the evening, I'd forgotten it. So I got to talking and speaking of some of the things that's happened. You just have to bear with me a minute. These things have a tendency to stick together. These little claws, and they stick real close together. And I like to anoint them. So I just have to take time to put them apart. My prayer claws probably don't mean much to some of you, and that's all right, no problem. But they mean a lot to some people. And the Bible says that from Paul's body went out aprons, different things that he had with him. And by these, as to what was sent out, that God wrought special miracles by. And we have some of the most wonderful reports that comes to us because of prayer claws. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you don't expect me to believe that you stick a little oil on them claws, and then you drop them in the mail and somebody's going to get healed. No, I don't expect you to believe that. So you're in good shape. But I do expect that if I or you go spend a little time with the Lord, whether it's all night long or whether it's a few hours in the closet or whatever, and then we want to include somebody in our prayers and give them a means of having some relation to us as to a contact between us to let us know, to let them know that we're praying, and them to let us know that they're listening in and that they're concerned, that they're believing. It works. It's like the little woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment. All she did was touch the hem of it. But the Bible said because of her faith in God, immediately there went out of her hem virtue and healed her that quick. Now that was really something, because when Jesus said, who touched me? They said to him, Lord, people all around you are touching you from every direction. How is it that you say, who touched me? And he said, well, it's not like this. Somebody touched me. He said, I felt virtue go out of my body. The little woman, knowing that she was not hid, she came and fell down at his feet and confessed that she had touched him. Whereas in that day with unclean bodies, issues or whatever, that a lot of times they were not even allowed to come into the congregation. Now, someone would say, well, I don't think that works. Well, it did. And it was like yesterday, I believe it was, my wife and I. I'd gone into town with David Paul and was up there for a little bit. And he had went by a boot store. We standing in the boot store, and I was really displeased because I didn't like the music. They had it too loud. Of course, he went over and asked him to turn it down, but I just left the boot store. I don't mess with other people's homes. You know, if I go in, they got a jug of whiskey in the refrigerator that I don't have any business there anyway, so I just leave them their jug of whiskey. But anyway, I left, and David, he got upset because he wanted me to look around the boot store with him. But while we was in the boot store, it's a huge boot store. I never seen one like it before. And while we was in it, a call came. A lady came hurrying over to me. And I could tell she was really excited. And she said, "What is your name?" And I told her. And she said, "There's an emergency call for you." So I started up toward the counter. And I saw David Paul. And I told him to just intercept the call, find out what was going on. And he did, and it was a call that come in from the Carolinas. Had come in, and the call was for a mother that, an elderly mother of about 80 years old, and she was sick, and they was taking her to the hospital and in real bad shape. And she was telling them, said, "If Brother Pike will pray for me, I'll be healed." Said, "Just contact him." Said, "I just know that it will happen." And of course, they contacted me, and when they contacted me, her faith was so great that when they contacted me and David, or whoever it was that intercepted the call, I think it was David, when he turned around to me and he told me the message, and immediately it pleased God so well that the Spirit of the Lord came on me just like that, just that quick. And my wife had stepped in about that time, and I turned and I said, "You know what?" I said, "Betty," I said, "the Lord just done the job just then for that woman." I said, "Her faith was so great that just as it was conveyed through whoever it came through to get to the telephone to come to us, God still honored the faith." I said, and I felt it just like that. And I said, "It happened." And was it the following day, was it? They said they were amazed immediately. Though they had to put her on a breathing machine and look like she'd die and whatever, said immediately, said that she just come out of it. Said they just, I believe they said they had never seen nothing like it. See, her faith, let's give the Lord a hand. See, her faith in God, and something happened just that quick. So that makes you know, and makes me know that anointing these claws, something will happen. So while you're in a good faith, let's just point our hands up this direction. Let's believe together now, because these prayer claws go out. And when they go out, we get such beautiful reports. Heavenly Father, we do ask of thee tonight through the faith of the people. I can tell that they believe the report. They believe in you. They believe what I have said. Heavenly Father, heal these people tonight. Father, as we lay hands on these prayer claws, we realize, Lord, there's nothing in these prayer claws. But if you anointed the ground and made it holy wherein Moses stood, Heavenly Father, being a son of God, feeling your mighty anointing, we do pray, and I feel the prayers and faith of the people tonight. And we do pray with all sincerity. Heal, Heavenly Father. Heal wherever these claws go. Heal, cast out evil spirits. Break bondages, move sorrows, oppressions. Bless, bring prosperity and happiness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. How many believe he did it? I believe he did it. Hallelujah. I can feel his presence already. I feel your faith in God. Paul said, "Your faith is spoken of throughout the world." So around the world it goes, the gospel, your faith. So it makes me real happy. It makes the Lord happy. And when the little children get these and they're healed, it makes the mothers happy, or whoever their loved ones are. So then if our sister Betty will send for these, I believe she said these go through the mail to different ones. You know, I seem to have a ministry because God blesses me. And he really does. He helps me. But then on the other hand, Sister Betty, she really does have a ministry. All down through the years, she's written, gotten letters, and constantly being in touch with people. God has done wonderful things through her efforts and her ministry for Christ. And I can say a lot of good things about my women workers here. Paul said, greet my women workers in the Lord. He said concerning some of his women workers, he said they have actually laid down their own life for mine. That's great workers. He said on another occasion of some of the workers that was with him, just workers in general, he said, you would have plucked out your eyes and have given them to me if it had been necessary. And said, you received me as the Lord himself. Whereas that wasn't too bad in Paul's case, because Paul, he said, it's not me living but Christ. Now, I want to make reference over to the fifth chapter of Revelation and the first verse. We spoke on this a number of times, where the book was in the right hand of him that sitteth on the throne. And I saw within the right hand of him that sit upon the throne a book, and this book was written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, I want to make reference to that because tonight is an unusual night, and I'm just going to talk to you a few minutes. I usually just talk a little bit anyway, but I want to talk to you a few minutes because this is an unusual night. Whereas someone would say, well, what is so unusual, Brother Pike, about this particular night? Well, I can tell you it's unusual. Not that we regard signs or seasons nor days or these kind of things, because we don't. Every day is the same with us. And we're not trying to speculate as to the coming of the Lord. Or where's Paul? He pointed this out. Don't let any man judge in a new moon or a Sabbath, which is only an allegory of those things to come. And don't let anybody trouble you as to saying the day of the Lord is at hand. For ye very well know that the coming of the Lord shall be as a thief in the night upon all them that dwell on the earth. So don't let anyone trouble you with those kind of things. And I'm certainly not going to try to trouble you with it. I am only trying to point out the signs of the time. The Bible said if we cannot discern the signs of the time, then are we in hypocrisy. So I can discern the signs of the times through the goodness of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that when certain things come to pass, know that it's nigh even at the door. We're trying to stay within the lids of the book and stay within the Bible and trying to share with you, as a pastor ought to do, the truth, to love you with all sincerity from my heart and not to seek gain, to make a gain of you. Paul said, did I come trying to make a gain of you, or did I labor with my own hands? Or have I coveted that was another man? I've coveted no man's silver nor gold. And I'm not here to do anything other than to tell you the truth. I'm not here to lord over God's heritage. I'm here to try to be an example. And I admit I'm a poor example, but I am here to try to be an example. I am in the ministry. I tell you over and over, I was called to the ministry. I didn't just take a notion to go to be a preacher. I'm so thankful to God that I'm in the ministry, but I was struck down and turned around and put in the ministry just like Paul was. And since my eyes came open, I was so glad. I was so thankful to God. Before, I didn't even know what the ministry was. I didn't even know how to serve the Lord. So in this, I just try to come with all simplicity to tell you the truth and to love you and to let you know that the day that we're living in it's an unusual day. Never been a day like it in the history of the world. So when I say today is an unusual day, what is the difference? Someone said, there's always New Year's Eve, Brother Pike. I know that. But what is the difference? The difference is today, calendar-wise. Always remember that. Today ends 6,000 years of God working with mankind. If we remember that by making an allowance for 7 years yet to come, then we are keeping things in balance.
Because the 2,000 years certainly has not ended as of yet. Tonight, no. But within 7 years will be ended. And it'll be another end of 2,000 years, which means a total end of the 6,000 years that God chose to work with mankind. Another 7 years. All right, but when I say the end of 2,000 years, within the radius and confines of the last 2,000 years, I tell you this over and over, there must be a place for 7 years. There must be a 7 year period that fits within the radius and confines of that 2,000 year cycle that would be the tribulation period. Now, it hasn't had to be in the other 2,000 year spans, but it has to be in this one. Now, I want you to listen real close because I'm just going to talk to you. I only made reference to this scripture because this is the book of redemption. And that's where we're at. Now, if I don't get to comment on the scripture particularly, just remember that. So then, this is the end of a 2,000 year cycle. Understanding that 7 years is yet to be for the tribulation period if we go according to the calendar. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean to us? What does that mean to the world? Well, if we look at the condition of the world, if we just take and sum up the condition of the world and look at it, has men turned to God? Are they serving God? Or are they worse than they ever were? Where is the fear of God? Where is the reverence of God? Have they made a turnabout? Or are the preachers still gullibly trying to figure out where their congregation is and their income is and their magazine is and their television projecting and all of these things they're supposed to be, and the singer still trying to figure out how that they're going to be the great celebrity before the people, or others to lord over the people, or the ecclesiasticals as to the ecclesia of the world trying to determine who's got the most money and who's going to be the most powerful in the world? Or the educated as to who is the man with the greatest diplomacy? Who is the man of the hour? Or in this crazy world, as we say, the cycles and recycling of people and things, just like you would cans, just like you would something you pick up off the street. Cycle and recycle. Use it and reuse it. So, what is this? Why is today so different? Because it is the last day. Is people doing anything about it? No. More religious than ever. Less righteous than ever before in the history of the world. Less efforts than ever before to even keep any virtue in their lives. And yet they're instructed in the Bible that if anything has any virtue in them, they think on these things. See, and they make no efforts to be virtuous in their thoughts, no efforts to be virtuous in their life, no efforts to be virtuous in any way to learn the real Word of God, to understand the Word of God, and yet they dispute the Word of God with regularity. They go to college, they do everything that they know to study the Word of God, and now they've included the Word of God as one of their textbooks, and they just study a little bit about science and a little bit about religion and a little bit about whatever, that has put it all in there together, and they say, I know the history of the world, I know chemistry, and I know whatever, and I also know the Bible. So that's all part of it. Folks, that's a detriment to humanity. You don't learn the Bible like that. Just remember that. It is utterly impossible for you to learn the Bible. You cannot learn the Bible. I don't care if you read it from cover to cover 50 million times. It is utterly impossible for you to learn the Bible. You cannot learn the Bible. So then that means that there is something wrong. People are perverted in their mind. They don't understand. You don't learn the Bible. You cannot learn the Bible. You can learn about a book. The word Bible means collection of books. You can learn about the 66 books that they call the Bible as to the original canon, as they say. They make up the original canon as that they've chosen out of all the scrolls and whatever, and prove them to be the authentic thing, as they say. But folks, the Bible, the Word of God, the Bible says that the Word of God was given to holy men, godly men, spiritual men, and these men were spiritual. And the Word of God came unto the prophets, and it was given unto these men as they were moved upon by the Spirit. And it must be interpreted the same way. So it's utterly impossible to learn the Bible unless, as I say, you just take it as a collection of books and just use it as a historical thing, pick up a lot of things of the Old Testament and get some ideas of what the apostles and Jesus did in the New Testament. But when you get through, then what do you know? Nothing. You don't know nothing. That all goes to your intellectual. It goes to your natural understanding. And when you get through, you don't know nothing. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you can't say that. Why can't I say that? That's what the Bible says. And the Word of God says, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And the Word says the flesh profiteth nothing. So with all of your education, what did you profit? Nothing. With all of your diplomacies, what did you profit? Nothing. With all of your labor through life, what did you profit? Nothing. Your great cities that you built and your great buildings, that your great structures, all of your great inventions, and what did you do? Nothing. All that you learn, what is it? It is nothing. All that you are in appearance and your frocks and all of your jogging and all of these different things, your great places, as to be musicians or be great statesmen or all these other things, as to your reputation, whatever, what did you profit? Nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. And when a man is nothing and he thinketh himself to be something, then he deceiveth himself. All right, so we know who we are. We know what we are doing. So I do have a right to say that then, don't I? So then, who is this that's come on the horizon that knows something? And who is this that is something? It's the Lord of hosts. It's the body of Jesus Christ. It's his members in particular. It's the sons of God. It's the daughters of God. It's the rulers of heaven and earth. It's the God, the members of the God body that owns everything in heaven and earth, that shall rule with a rod of iron, that knows all things. The Bible said we have an unction from God that we should know all things. And Jesus said, what my Father hath made known unto me, I've made known unto you. Ask what you will, say what you will, do whatever you will. Don't doubt, it'll all come to pass, even down to the desire of your heart. All right, so there is something on the horizon. Well, if we had about 5,000 hours to comment on that, we could bring out some thoughts. So today is an unusual day. What is unusual about this day? It's the last day of the year. Meaning a new year will be coming in pretty shortly. What is so unusual about it? All right, I remind you one more time, and I want to take my time because there's a number of things I want to say. Just say a few things. The first 2,000 years, I remind you one more time. Now, I know I'm a little late, and if you can't stay, please don't think I'm indignant when I say these things. Don't trouble men's spirit. Ease them out. It's all right if you got a paycheck and you got to spend and you got to go. I love you just as much. You know, just don't trouble men's spirit. See, and just listen, that's all. To try to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. If somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you don't clap your hands enough, you don't jump enough, you don't holler enough. You know, when you really get stirred up and going, well, we will. Now, see, that's natural, that's carnal, that's the foolishness of preaching. I have to holler and scream. But Jesus just sat down in the little boat and taught them, Never was he hollering and screaming. See, but by the foolishness of preaching, men lift up their voice like a trumpet. They have to go out, fight the battle. See, and I come here, you're my spiritual children. I know that at least some of you are. And I try to talk with you like with the disciples. When Jesus took the disciples off to himself, he talked with them. Someone said, well, bless God, you're not Jesus. Well, would you like to dispute that? Would you like to make an analysis? In the world, at least they give the benefit of the doubt. They make an analysis. And if the blood is the same with the child as with the dad, they say that he belongs to the dad. You want to give the Lord a hand? I wonder if we've got any blood from the God family here. All right. Sounds like we're on track there. All right. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. So then we see then today is a special day. This day, 2,000 years, the flood, and Peter said, but the old world passed away. It was a world. It passed away. And then again he said, 2,000 years, and ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And again, the world passed away. The first was on a natural world. It was a natural flood. It was a water devastation because the natural world, the lifeline of all vegetation is water. And when they found salvation, they found it by a tree. The sin came from a tree, so they found a redemption by a tree. By a tree it came. So the ark was made of wood. And then there came the second, and with it another covenant. It was a blood covenant extending from the end of the flood over until Calvary. And then this time the salvation was by the sacrifice of a human body, which it was said, and this is as the waters of Noah to me, and the lifeline of human anatomy or the beast body, as we would say, is blood. So then the covenant extended. And when you say the covering, you know, in the garden, Adam and Eve couldn't understand why that they could not cover their nakedness, which was their shame. They couldn't understand it. They didn't need any covering for their nakedness, but for their shame. They'd done something and now they'd come to shame. And they couldn't understand why the leaves wouldn't cover their body and as to a sufficiency. But see, the covering the Lord was speaking of was that the life had to have a covering. And from the first time that man had a covenant, it was water. And life was in the water. And he said to them that the fruits of the trees shall be your meat. That'll be your means of survival. You can eat. You can drink. And I know we got vegetarians in the world and they say, if you want to get back to the garden, you know, get on the vegetables and go to the fruits and don't eat any meats. And the Bible said they'd come in the last day saying these things, perverting people's mind and commanding them to abstain from meats and these things, which God hath made to be received with thanksgiving of them that know the truth. As a matter of fact, the Bible said the meat is for the strong. And if your mind's not perverted, meat's fine. Nothing wrong with meat. Now somebody said, well, I don't know about this meat and that meat and whatever meat. He just said meat. So all things are sanctified by prayer. Over here, you'll eat one kind of meat. Over yonder, they'll eat another kind of meat. Over here, you'd say, well, man, I never eat that. I never eat what they're eating. Somebody said, well, what do they eat? Well, they'll take a big snake and chop him up and eat him. Would never do that. Oh yeah, I'm going to eat something clean. Over there they'd say, I never eat that muddy hog. That swine that you eat, I wouldn't eat him. Somebody says, if you eat pork, it'll kill you. Somebody says, eating pork's good for you. I've read it on signs both ways. Now, what am I talking about? I'm saying that we get beside ourselves in signs and seasons and what we eat and what we don't eat. Like Peter on the housetop when the Lord let down that sheet and said, Peter, I just rise up, slay and eat. Peter said, nay, Lord, not me. Nothing unclean's ever gone in my mouth. He said, don't call common what I've cleansed. See, that is to say, you don't understand, Peter. So, actually, those things, as I said before, represented the Gentiles, which God had rejected. Now God was bringing them into the covenant. So, in this first covenant here, we see that it was life within the radius and confines of water. They were illuminated with the light of God, and he kept them alive. Moses on the mountain, 80 days and night, he kept him alive. See, and wherever God's spirit is, he keeps you alive. It ain't what you eat. God keeps you alive. It ain't how much sleep you get. God keeps you alive. And I know we get back to this thing, you know, you got to have 8 hours of this and 8 hours of this and 8 hours of this. And if you do good, you live 60 years, 70 years. But I say again, Enoch and Methuselah, they messed all of that record up. So when we look at these things, we know that God is life. And there's three that bear witness of life in the earth: the water, the blood, and the spirit. These witness of life, because without water you can't live, and without blood you can't live. Without spirit you can't live. So that's your witnesses of life, and this is coverings of life. So then the covering of life was water. And when they had sinned against God to the extent they broke the covenant, they failed to beast level, which was blood, and the covering of the trees was no longer their covering. Life was no longer kept within the confines of trees, within water. They had to go to a different level. And with that, God allowed this water thing to extend over for 2,000 years, and then all of a sudden the devastation, and then he brought the blood. If you'll notice that in this great deluge of the first 2,000 years, there's something of real interest right there to Bible scholars. And that is, from the time of the garden to fall over to the 2,000 years of the flood, if you'll notice that there was nothing that was saved in that whole deluge. Nothing that was saved in that whole deluge there except the marine life. That went on. Today we have whales, blue whales, 90 tons. See, and God took away everything. He took two of two into the ark. Isn't that right? What did he do with the fish? See, and he took them into the ark and he preserved them. But as a whole, that's the way it went. Now, the next thing was, and we are not going to get into these three things as a teaching tonight. I've always longed to really get into them and take maybe an hour or two on one, an hour or two on another. But I just kind of hit the little highlight. I'm only doing this tonight because of what I'm trying to get around to say. To prove a point, and so then 2,000 years went out, now another 2,000 came in, and from the time it came in, God gave them a blood covenant. This blood covenant, of course, was not put in effect until the ark rested on Mount Ararat. And then from there was a sacrifice made. See, but it is a true fact that at the very beginning at the garden, that Cain did come with a sacrifice, and Abel did come with a sacrifice. And God did not accept Cain's sacrifice, but he did Abel's. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because Cain still tried to do the same thing that his mother and dad did. And that was, he offered that which was of the ground, of the water. There was no covenant there anymore. There wasn't anything there anymore. The life had failed from that and gone into the blood. And now it was an animal level. And now it was a blood covenant. That is to say, it had lost. Here, water had lost its power as a covering. The covenant was broken. It was no longer that that could sustain life. And now it was pointing on toward the Calvary of the time of the landing of the ark of that which was to come, just as it was from the ark pointing on the Calvary, which the Bible says was as the waters of Noah, all of this being symbolic and pointing to Calvary. See, or as to the change of the translation of the church. Well, anyway, then the blood had to be given. The blood had to be given because after that, it took blood for the covering. So Abel offered blood, and the Lord accepted his offering because here was a lamb, meek, pointing to Calvary. Here was blood and life in the blood, and this took care of the whole thing. See, there was a covering. This went on for about 2,000 years, and then at the end of the 2,000 years, here came the great deluge. And there had to be a physical image completely swallowed up of blood, just the way that the ark was at the end of the water deluge age when it was swallowed with water. And so then everything in heaven and earth, having been gathered into the ark in the first 2,000, now here we are again, the second. Now everything in heaven and earth had to be gathered into the ark again because that body pointed to Jesus. And within the body of Jesus, everything had to be gathered in it. And within Jesus, there was the three stories. There was the three parts of the body, soul, and the spirit, just like the ark. And there had to be that things in the earth that showed the body had to come to its place. Things that was in this realm that's between heaven and earth, as to a soul realm, had to find its lodging place. And things that were in heaven, as to the spiritual world, had to find its lodging place. And the first, it was a natural thing. And so then it had to do with the birds as to heaven and those as to their level. See, and as to the creeping things in the earth. So now it was here as to humanity, all on a triple level, which means that there's some people that are walking devils. I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil. See, they're walking devils. They're made for the hole. They're made for the pit. They're made for darkness. They live in darkness. They creep in holes. They dwell in holes, in darkness. They are intellectually confined in darkness of human reasoning. And on we could go if we just had time to explain this. See, so they had to be gathered in. How could he do this? See, and then we go to the others the same way. There are heavenlies that are actually walking this earth. Sometimes entertaining strangers, you should be careful how you entertain strangers, because the Bible said some have entertained angels unaware. Abraham sitting under the oak of Mamre. We've been there, you've been there, some of you. See, sitting under this oak that he actually entertained angels. I'm sure that Sarah didn't realize that there were angels. Abraham did. He knew that they were angels, and he was very fearful as he was in their presence, and he tried to conduct himself right. And when the Lord of hosts, who was among those angels, spoke to him, he believed it. Sarah, she just laughed, but not Abraham. See, and the Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. Whereas a lot of people say, well, I don't believe that. Yet the Bible does say that where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst, and angels do encamp round about you. See, and if you don't want to look at it like that, the Bible said they that are born again, they dwell in heaven. And they that are in heaven are as the angels. Which means, as it was said when Rhoda run to the door, Peter is here. And they said it must be his angel, his spirit, that is. So we could break that down and go into a lot of things right there, but I'm just telling you these things to substantiate what I'm saying so your mind won't be filled with questions and Satan take advantage and tear down all that I'm doing. Well, anyway, so then we know that there is a level and a level and a level, and we could go on explaining the different levels. But I'm saying, how did this happen? The second deluge, and then here goes out grace, Jesus. He died. He gave his blood. He died to take away the sins of all the world, not just your sin and my sins, but of the drunkard, of the harlot, of the murderer, of the liar, of the cheat, all people. He took away the sins of all people. Someone would say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike, but yet it's true. He took away the sins of all people. Now, Did he actually take away the sins of the murderer and all of the others? If he had not taken them away, today God would be killing people just like flies. Like that. It's only because the blood of Jesus is on the seat of atonement that we can even survive. It is only because the blood is on the seat of atonement that there's even an allowance. And God doesn't see your misdemeanors. He doesn't see your wrongs. He cannot even look at you because he can't look on iniquity. So he has to look through the eyes of Jesus. He looks through the blood of Jesus. And when he sees you, he doesn't see anything wrong with you. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, I'll have to go down and take a look. The report has come up to me that this is a bad situation. Seeing as Joseph was a go-between as to Pharaoh and the people, because the Egyptians would be an abomination to the Hebrews, and the Hebrews was an abomination to the Egyptians. So there had to be something going on as a mediator. Well, anyway, that would take a lot of teachings too. So what am I saying? See, we have to have a mediator. Jesus became the mediator. He took away the sins of the world. And now there is no such thing as sin to human beings. Human beings cannot sin as a body. They cannot sin as a human being. I know the Bible says a sinful flesh. I know all these things. You know, a lot of times when I'm teaching, Bible scholars are like this everywhere, and even as they scrutinize, as it goes around the world, they say, I know this. He just don't know this. Yeah, I know that plus because of God's goodness. See, the thing is, a lot of times we think we know something we don't know something is we ought to know, and that is we need to listen to the truth. And remember that when the minister is speaking, if God sent him, then it is not him speaking, but God. And if God's speaking, then it is true. And if we don't believe that, we don't need to come to church. We don't need to come and hear that fellow. See, we can learn the Bible at home if it's a matter of learning the Bible the way you term learning the Bible. So the world, the sins are gone. That's why you have America, the new world. That's why you have healing. That's why you have the dentists and dentists and all these things. And that's why you can get relief from pain. Because the Bible teaches when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, there won't be any healing medicine. You can't perfect a bottle of medicine. There won't be nothing. You'll gnaw your tongue from pain. Pray always that you might be able to escape these things that's coming on the earth. So then Jesus took away the sins of the world, and thus doing, what did he do? He gathered all into his grace, into the body of the Lord Jesus, the covering of the blood, and sure enough, there was Noah's ark, and there were the three levels. Though he gathered them all into the ark, even as Noah did, yet one as to this upper and one to the lower and one that was here where the door was as that which was in between. And when the door was open on the other side to allow them to go out, they all went to their place. Remember that. Somebody said they went into the new world. They all went to their place. See, they went to their place. I just wish we had time to go into that in the beautiful revelation of the Son of God. For great is the mystery. All went to their place. As to the Lord that dwelt and holds on this side, where did they go when they went out on that side? See, and so then some went to the sacrifice. They were there for the sacrifice. So then Jesus has taken all of them into the ark. All of them into the ark. So the second world went away. It went away. Then the third world came into view. The third covenant came into view. Now, as the water would not suffice after the blood covenant came, so today, now that the third covenant has come, which is the spiritual covenant, blood won't suffice anymore. All right. So then we had to just kind of tiptoe a little till we could get down to this perspective. See, the blood won't work anymore. That's why that when I was in Israel, I asked the rabbi, I said, sir, I said, tell me, what do you folks do about remission of sin? because he was in a big way telling me thus and thus and thus and how it was and how it had to be and all these kind of things at the same time in a money-making scheme. And when I converted the conversation, when I got around to these things and I asked him, everything he had an answer for, it could just smooth it right out like butter. But when it came down to this, it baffled him. He didn't know what to say. See, because if you'll think back just for a moment, when it comes to Calvary, there is no more blood atonement. From Calvary, there is no more blood atonement. As to the human sacrifice, as to his efforts in any way, there is no more blood atonement. God will not accept blood from the time of Calvary. As to the spilling of the blood of animals, he doesn't do that anymore. The Son has come. And though the Jews are blinded in part, yet still they are protected by the blood of Jesus Christ, because the grace of God came through the giving of the blood for all people, which took in the Jew and everybody else. But inasmuch as God blinded them as to the Messiah, so that he could preserve them unto the end to bring that last 7 years to the 483 to fulfill the 490 of the prophecy of Daniel to make a complete thing as to the track of the world. Hiding their eyes, that separation of the seven from the 483 brought a breach. And like I heard today, it was said now that this thing is signed to the papacy, that now a rift that has been there for 2,000 years is closed up. I think the headlines used this term, that now this gap is to this rift, is now 2,000 years old, now it's closed up. Which proves again, like I said, that the 2,000 years has rolled around. And I had made the statement, the breach came between the Jews and the Catholics at Calvary, because Peter, being the first pope as it would be, and you know, we have to dwarf these things in such a way to say such few things, it makes it so minute as to what we should be saying till it's very difficult to bring it out in a continuity to where you can understand it. I need to elaborate on every point, bring in detail. So then when Peter became, as it would be, the first pope, then from that time on, see, from that time on, there was a breach. They blamed the Jews with the death. Isn't that right? Pilate said no. The Jews said yes. Yes. But you have to remember that it was the Passover of the Jews, and they were not even aware that the spiritual thing was taking place, as the prophetical utterance of the days of Moses and Joshua, showing at that very moment that this was the great Passover, as the going over the Jordan where Joshua had prepared victuals, because right then and there was the time of the Lamb, the Passover, the death of Jesus, and this was the end of death. That death was fixing to be conquered. That's what Jordan was all about. But they didn't see it. They missed the day of their visitation. So has the Gentiles. So then, here not seeing that, they didn't realize that they were putting the Lamb to death because he was their Passover. And Pilate said no. They said, let his blood be on us and our children. And from that time, there's been blood, there's been problems, they've been blamed. But as of recent, the pontiff, that is to say the papacy, being the god of the age, he said that they're not guilty anymore. So the blood is now lifted off of the Jew. See, it's come around now that God can accept them. But it had to be that way. It had to be that way. Now, if I had about 2 hours to elaborate on every point, I could clear that up and you'd just love it. But anyway, going back to Calvary, see, we know the blood's cut off. We know the blood's cut off. Like I said to the rabbi, where is the atonement? He's was under the blood like all the rest. The Jews have been under the blood like all the rest. God would have destroyed them otherwise. So someone said, well, this is getting too crowded for me in my mind. I can't quite get a hold of it, Brother Pike, and I don't know what you mean. It don't make sense to me. That's what I say. I need about 2 hours for it to make sense to you. I wished I could. I wished you could. But I know that we can't in here. I know that we can't. So I just have to go on anyway. This goes on tape. And if you go back and you get these things out and you pray and seek God and you get spiritual minded and you get hungry, then these things will come to you. It's like I told some brethren the other day. I said, brethren, I love you. I love you. I said, I've tried to deal with you for a number of years. I said, but I want you to know that rather than getting more spiritual, some of you have got more carnal than ever, more concerned about the natural things than ever, steadfast in the things of the world, more than ever, and getting farther and farther away from the spiritual mind. Folks, let's remember this. God is a spirit. And Jesus emphatically stated to the woman at the well, woman, you don't know what you worship. The Bible said salvation is of the Jews. They seek after things of God. See, they seek after things of God. But the Bible says, Jesus himself said, the Gentiles seek after the things of the world. And it is so. See, they just play religion. They just have little religious gatherings, all these kind of things. Well, anyway, if I don't watch, I'll be preaching to you. And I'm trying to just stay in a little stream just to get over a few thoughts, and I won't keep you long. Really, they usually stay till about midnight when it comes to the New Year's Eve, but I don't bother you with that. And they have one preaching and have another preaching, another preaching. Somebody says, well, praise God. You know, Brother Pike, line up the preachers, and that's fine. And we just have preaching, preaching. We'll be staying here. All we can have is singing and singing. We'll be staying here. That's fine. If you want to do it, I won't bother you a bit. Not a bit. Pick them out, line them up, have them do whatever you want to. I'm only trying to do my little part of what I understand that needs to be done as to the elect of God and not get into ritualistics and formalities. Preaching? Say, well, is that wrong, Brother Pike? Oh, no, get all the preachers you want. Listen to all of them. Let them preach to you. Oh, they got a job to do. I got a job to do. So then we know that the blood did stop at Calvary, so that covenant is gone. You cannot anymore cover your shame with blood. Jesus will not accept the atonement of blood for you nor the Jews nor anybody else. It's gone forever. There is no more blood covering. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And even though the blood as to the seed of atonement, as to the blood of the Lamb, was sufficient because God replaced human blood, all men being made of one blood, he replaced that blood with one blood cell, even the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he sweated from his very veins. He sweated from the very pores of his body. He actually sweated his blood in travail when his sweat became as great drops of blood, and then went to Calvary and tread the winepress alone and bled until there was no blood. God smote him in the head. We esteem him smitten of God. Smote him in the head. Put nails in his hands. Put nails in his feet. All parts of his body. Run the spear through the side. Plowed the back like a field. Why? So that every part of his body would yield up the blood. He wanted all of the blood out of him. He intended to do away with the red dragon. He intended to do away with blood life, the old beast's body. The covenant was over. The blood life was ended. No more could there ever be an atonement of blood. This was the end of it. So this man that came had a new covenant. And this covenant was a spiritual covenant. And this man was not as to the first Adam, but being the second man, Adam, he came to make an end of sin, to do away with that image, to bring the end of that world and to start another world, and that with this new world, that it was going to be a spiritual covenant, it was going to be an angelic covenant, it was going to be that with the spirit, not with the body nor with the earth. It was going to be one with the angel, your spiritual being on the inside as an angel. And he was going to divide asunder to separate the body from the spirit and divide asunder that in doing that, this body would die, be buried in the water as pointing back to that first, and the spirit would be taken away. Going this direction, the blood would be put out. the body, soul, and spirit as to severally dividing, as to a dissecting there, as to three kind of people. And of course, if we went into it tonight, it'd take a lot of time. But principally speaking, as to the Jew, as to the Catholic, as to the Protestant. We'll leave just that little terms in your mind there to think on. Because one has to do with the body realm, and one has to do with the soul realm, and one has to do with the heavenly realm. Though neither one is, yet all three symbolically has to do with it and still is in a second level. All right, so then we know that with this, that world ended. Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world had come. So then it's ended. The physical world is now gone. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, you must just be out of your mind. You can look around and see the great world of human physics, and you can tell all around that there are people, baseball and volleyball and the Olympics and statesmen and musicians and celebrities and all kind of things, Brother Pike. I know I see that. But then on the other hand, God put it out of his sight. At Calvary, he'd done away with it, just like putting his hand there, hiding it from him. He'd done away with it. All of it's destroyed. All of it's gone. It's just not made manifest yet. The grace of God to the church for the change and for the preparation that they have to go through during the 2,000 years of tutoring as to the church ages, to grow to the change as to the transfiguration of what we call the rapture. During the spirit of time, he was forced to give grace to the others. That is a reflector. He said, it's to the wicked, I'm angry with them every day, and I'll pursue them till they perish from off the face of the earth. I don't have any time for them. The bastard child image, I hate it. But nevertheless, he has to allow this, and the blood between him and that image continues, allows Satan to continue in that body, and that's how Lucifer climbed up into the upper lintel. That's how the old serpent got up into the upper lintel, by grace through the human body. Just as in the days of Job, the blood being on the seat of atonement from the foundation of the world. And here comes Satan in the presence of God. And even tonight, as I preach here, see that Satan is sitting in this congregation. He's in human bodies, and he's in the upper lintel. He's in the spiritual era. See, and he's in the presence of God, and he hears these things, and he records them. Though you might not listen, he listens very good. All right, so then we understand at least a little of what's being said. So the blood won't atone anymore. Now there is a spiritual covering. So the life is in the blood, according to science. See, they say the blood is the life. But the Bible said the life is in the blood, which is the spirit. And, of course, all they can define is a little oxygen and whatever, as to whatever would be a quickening, as to an energy and mass, you know. But nevertheless, now there is a spiritual covering. Where then is my life now? My life is hid with Christ, the quickening spirit, in God whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring and the change of all things. So now there is a spiritual covenant, and my angel, my life, my innermost being, my inner man is now interwoven with Christ like the safeguard in the garment, and I am now one with him, and I am now eternal. I was dead, but now I'm resurrected from the dead, and I'm alive forevermore. So then here I am tonight, alive forevermore. Though I once was dead, now I'm alive forevermore. See as he stood in the midst of the candlesticks. So then, what am I saying? The Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. For having eyes they see not, having ears they hear not. So, then the eyes of the understanding being enlightened. What does this mean? I'm saying that this new covenant brought in a new world. Now, ye that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Ye are crucified with him, buried with him in baptism, resurrected with him in the newness of life. The old is passed away. The old world is passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are now in a new world. You are now a new creature. You're not the same creatures to the body. No more. For you're not of the first man, Adam, but in his sight, in his foreknowledge, the finished product, which is in Christ Jesus, you're now bone of his bone, and you're now flesh of his flesh. All things are forever gone. You are forever alive forevermore. See, like I led the little group into the millennium, and I said, it happened. Now it's over. The fire and the brimstone are gone. Now you made it. All right. So then the Gentiles had their visitation. That's why today is so special. See, this new covenant has been in effect now for 2,000 years. He come. He said he would come to the Jews. He did. And they missed him. I wish we had time to elaborate. He came to the Gentiles. He said he would come to the Gentiles. He came to the Gentiles. They missed him. See, they were too busy with their Olympics. They were too busy with the things of the world. They had their thing going. They kept saying, give us a sign. This to the Jews. He said, I don't have any sign for you. He had raised the dead. He'd opened blind eyes. He'd unstopped deaf ears. He'd done all kinds of things. He was saying, you're blind. And if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. You don't see nothing. And then when they followed him, he said, you didn't follow me for the miracles. It's not a matter of a sign. Though the Jews seek a sign and Greeks seek wisdom. He said, it's because you eat of the fishes and the loaves. That's why you follow me. So, all of man's labors for his belly because his belly craves it of him. That means that the Gentiles had a day of visitation. Christ came. They knocked, just locked the door, closed him out. He knocked, but they wouldn't let him in. So then he came to visit them. Now their houses are left unto them desolate. See, because they had their visitation. He came like he said he would come. But they couldn't see him. I preach to you. True God preaches to you the word. I know there's hundreds and thousands of preachers in the world today, and they don't know what they're doing no more than you know what they're doing. And their interest is in the natural things, and all that they do pertains unto the world. All their goals are toward the world. But there's a few preachers that love God that are the right kind of people. See, and they keep telling you over and over that God is a spirit. That God is a spirit. That you're supposed to worship God in spirit. You're supposed to understand this word not as a biblical terminology of the world of academics. But you're supposed to understand that God is a spirit. That his word is spirit and his word is life. You worship him in spirit and in truth. But did they do that? Did they listen to that? Did they want that? No. They don't have time for that. I say again, they spend many years in college and school. Because that's important. That's the world of academics. But when it comes to God, 15 minutes and hurry and tell me this thing. Because I know this is a great mystery and I've given you 20 minutes of my time already. When that is us to schooling and education is only symbolic and a little tad of that as pertaining to the great mighty mystery of God. Whereas it should have took your time day and night. The Bible said, meditate in these laws day and night. This is life. This is the stream of life. I am the Prince of life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant. But to you, life is eating and drinking and buying, selling, going, doing all the things that you want to do, being loose so that you don't have to listen to nothing. And when it comes to education, it's because you want to learn, have a learning, never knowing nothing, and all just having your mind on what you're going to get out of your learning as to a monetary value. Well, anyway, so then another covenant, folks, has come to pass. It's been in effect. Christ has been here. He's been knocking at the door. He's been out in the dark, the dewdrops in his night as to the intellectual surrounding. And he's tried his best to get the door open. I stand at the heart's door. I knock. If anyone will open unto me, I'll come in and I'll sup with him. And so their day has gone and passed. Billy Graham I related it to the brethren just before I come here. There's a magazine on the front of the magazine said the winter time of Billy Graham's life. All of a sudden, Billy Graham's life, the winter time problems. All of a sudden, Billy is fading out like we said he would. Well, we don't have time to elaborate on that. I did say a few things to the brethren about it, but what does that mean? It means the winter time of the American people. He is their prophet. He is their number one man, face having been seen more than any evangelist. And I made the statement, I said, Billy's Catholic. Somebody says, oh no, Billy is Baptist. Oh no, Billy's Catholic. Now someone would say, now Brother Pike explained that. All right, let me explain that. Just like recently, Billy over in the Holy Land over here, working hand in hand with the Pope, dedicating as to whatever has come up. Now, somebody said, well, how does that make him Catholic? Well, they ordained him Catholic. I have the pictures of it. As to the priesthood, whatever. But the thing is, aside from that, can two walk together lest they be agreed? Can two walk together lest they be agreed? Does Billy and the papacy walk together? There must be some kind of agreement. Oh, somebody said, well, he's Baptist. Well, that's no problem. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? If the Baptists walk with Billy, then what are they? Let's give the Lord a hand. Not only that, but Pentecostals, Methodists, all the others, they walk with Billy. Can they walk with Billy and not be agreed? Oh, no. Then if they are agreed and he's in agreement with the papacy and the Roman Catholic Church, what does that make them? Can you give the Lord a hand? You've got to remember all of this come out of the Catholic Church through Martin Luther. And in that it came out through Martin Luther, many of them are nothing but the great whore's daughters. And their children, the Bible said, shall be burned with fire because I shall cast her into a bed of adultery. And adultery, does she accept the name Jesus? Do they follow the name Jesus? Are you baptized for the remission of sin? Does she accept the name as to her husband? No. Why? Because she's not the wife. But there's a bride. There's a bride, and they love his name. All right, so then we do know that the end is here. Now, I could go on and go on and go on, but I just want to drop in a few thoughts, and I'm going to close. Because this, I've said tonight, is just tiny fragments of what I need to say about the coverings. But I said this, that you might stop and think about what I mean, the covering cherubs, and you cover with a covering, but not of me. So, what was that called? I got the word today that when the papacy came, whereas authentic or not, I don't know, but some said that it was to have to do with the Mount of Olives. If that should be so, that's where Jesus ascended from. That's where Jesus said he would come back to. And it shows something as to the Antichrist coming. Whereas someone would say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that the papacy is the Antichrist. I told you the beast had seven heads. We haven't had time to really elaborate on that. But he did have seven heads. And we also told you there was a head wounded to death. And even when this papacy received the wound in the head, the paper said the deadly wound. Whereas the Bible speaks of one of these heads being wounded to death, called a deadly wound, and the wound was healed. And I made the statement, even as this papacy, I said, that wound will be healed. And it was healed, and all the world's going after it. Now, in this, is that the Antichrist? I told you the seven heads. And one wounded to death, the other that was healed, it was then healed. And then the other that came was the Antichrist, which is the eighth one that would come out of the seven. It doesn't say the beast had eight heads. It said seven. But nevertheless, out of the seven, it said came another that was the eighth that was of the seven. So when we go into that, that would take a long time too. That might boggle your mind. So then that means that something was to be done at the first of the week as to a covenant. Someone would say, well, what makes you think this is the covenant? I'm not telling you it is. I'm telling you that at the first of the week there was a covenant. It's very strange that this should be made at the first of the week. And it is a covenant. It is a covenant. It is a covenant. Not only is it a covenant, but the chief rabbi said, according to the report, that this is the cornerstone. This is the cornerstone of religion. Knowing that Jesus would turn to the Mount of Olivet, the Golden Gate right close by, knowing what is going to happen, and knowing what that Antichrist will have in mind is those Golden Gates. See, having gone through the Lion's Gate and down through there with the proclamation, the time is it fulfilled, the time is at hand. Repent and receive ye the gospel. It's for the Jews. It was their time. Now, in this, the papacy coming, we had sent a flag to the leader of Israel. This flag, of course, when it is folded up, as which is the usual thing with a flag, was a pyramid. It was a stone, like a capstone, that is. And when we sent it, we had sent one to Mr. Reagan, we'd sent one to Mr. Bush. Wish we had plenty of time to elaborate on that as to a present-day truth. And when we sent it, Mr. Bush received it, Mr. Reagan received it. When it went to this leader of Israel, they saw on the box, in big letters, where it had been written, Jesus Christ. And they wouldn't even open it. On the inside is to say the flag like a cornerstone that said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. They didn't even open it. It came back to us. We opened it and we flew the flag here at little Bethlehem. Not the natural Jew, but he that is a spiritual Jew is the true Jew. And so we received the name. We put it up out here. They hoisted the flag out here, which indicated the shifting of that government, as I said, from the east to the west, which is way over your heads. I know that. And now some of you wouldn't believe that at all. But nevertheless, it came to pass. I said, now Israel is ready for a tribulation period. She's rejected the cornerstone. And immediately that man went out of office. And another man came in. I said, he'll be a compromiser. And so he has been. All the way. He's been a compromiser. Now, they did not fly your flag. But they did fly the PLO. For when you reject the true cornerstone, there's always something that's going to come, which is the wrong cornerstone. And you're going to try to make it fit. And they're trying to make it fit, so they say that now that the papacy has come, that's the cornerstone or the headstone of religion. And that now Papa is going to bring everything together. There's a body, soul, and spirit perspective of the Catholics, the Arabs, and of the Jews. That life working through the soul is to unite those two. See, is going to try to unite them together. And they say in this religion coming together that this religion is going to be the greatest thing to bring all of this to peace. I made the statement that that's what they would do. And they would say peace, peace, and then sudden destruction. And I also made the statement that if there is a sudden destruction, then there has to be a sudden going out of the church like that before the sudden destruction. So then, peace and sudden destruction. They are saying now it's going to be peace. Whereas I made this statement and I repeat it tonight to the audience. And that is, there's only one man in the world that can actually bring peace to the world. There's not a president, there's not a king, there's not a queen. All of them together can't do it. There's only one that can do it, and that's the papacy. The Pope of Rome being the pontiff as in the earth, and I wish we had time to explain that of the godship of the blood and those kind of things. But being this particular thing, he can bring peace. And the way that he'll bring peace is through religion. Because he has enough understanding to know that if he gets all the religious bodies in the world together, there isn't going to be any war. See, if he gets the Muslims, that's one of the greatest moves in the earth. The Jews, that is one of the greatest moves in the earth. And then the Catholics is one of the greatest moves in the earth. So with the Catholics, with all their money, power, and influence, he's automatically got what you call Protestantism. They've all gone Catholic. And when it comes to, that is to a Billy Graham thing. See, and when it comes to the Jews have a reputation for being the religious bodies in the earth, knowing that that is the Holy Land. And then when it comes to the Arabs, the Muslims are enforced all over the world. Africa, India, wherever you go. If he gets this in a triple crown, he gets them together in a body, soul, and spirit, he can rule the rest of the world. Once he quietens everything down in religion, nobody will fight. It'll be a violation of their conscience and their religion. They dare not do that. Popper says no, so they don't do it. So that's where it's at right now. And all he's got to do to get America is get Billy Graham. All he's got to do to get Israel is get the chief rabbi, like a nation born in one day, coming there on the mountain. All he's got to do to get the Catholic Church together is get one, and that's the papacy. So then that's it. All coming together, he knows this, and with that, see, he's working the thing out. Now, we could say many other things, and many other things we've already said, commenting just a little bit here and there as to the significance of this and pointing out different things allegorically as to what it means or spiritually as to what it means. But tonight, we're not going to bother you with it or say anything about it. I just wanted to make a point or two here to let you know that something is still taking place. Something is still happening, and we need to check ourselves. We need to make sure that we stay in stride with God, because what will happen? Anything can happen now. It could be a day, it could be a week, it could be an hour, it could be 10 years. See, but it's for sure that the time has come around to the cycle, and even as the headline said, according to the report, that this rift, or this breach, as we would say, that has been standing for 2,000 years. No more do we blame them with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know now that they are our elderly brother. So then, if the blood is lifting off of them, it had to go somewhere. And that means that they are ready to be accepted. But Jacob has to pass through the fire of the tribulation period because they have been haughty. And God has to chasten them before he will bring them to the end of the 7 years to set up the great millennium rest of the seventh day. That seventh day in mind. So many things are in my mind tonight, all through this little speech tonight. So many things in my mind that I wished I could have detailed and brought out that would have been heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel. But anyway, let's stand together. I'm glad to have your attention that long, and I can tell that things are cooling off as to the building, and you've given your attention real well, so he's able to comment some. I just tell you, as Jesus did, to watch and pray. Just watch and pray and ask God to help you, because we need his help. We need his help. Let's sing a little chorus together, can't we? While we're singing, the altars are open. Of course, they're always open. But I repeat that to you because some people are reluctant to come unless I just from up here give a verbal expression as to a voice and let them know that the altars are open. Come in. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again now. So come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in Tuesday. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Now while we're standing here, we really need to check our heart and see if we've let the Lord in. Knocking in the night, two drops of the night in his locks. And he's saying, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. So then have an opportunity to open the door. You're the only one that can open the door. And having opportunity to open the door, either you open the door to Christ or you leave him standing in the darkness with the dewdrops in his locks. So then if he's pressed out of your life, then is he in the night of this intellectual wilderness and wondering that he doesn't have a place in your heart. And if you don't open the door, then the dewdrops of the night is in his locks. And yet he is saying, if you will open the door, I will come in and I will sup with you. So then let's sing another chorus together as we worship the Lord for just a few minutes tonight. And then after that, we're going to let you go. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Can you sing with me? Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole. Sing it again now. Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting in my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup and make me whole until the storm passes over. Till the thunder rolls no more, till the lightning has gone forever from the sky. Can you lift your hands up? Close your eyes. Ask the Lord tonight to search your heart. See if you be in the faith tonight of the words that I've said, of the Word of God. For you're saved by the grace of God through faith, and that not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. All the works are finished from the foundation of the world, and everyone that believes enters into his rest. For yet was delivered for your offenses, raised again for your justification. He hath predestinated, justified, sanctified, and glorified, and ye are complete in Him. Ye are His children. And they that have entered into His rest have ceased from their own works. And tonight, you have opportunity to do that, to believe tonight. Can you lift your hearts and hands up tonight and believe in the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't you like to live forever? Wouldn't you like to live forever? You have opportunity tonight. It's a wonderful, great salvation has come. The days of the Gentiles is coming to an end. Everything is at a close. The church is getting ready now. This is why that Brother Pike has preached the message that I have. See, all down through the years, they say, wait, something's got to happen. I've got to live better. After a while, if I keep on, I know if He'll give me a little more time. See, wait a little longer, Jesus. But I've been preaching to you a finished work. I've been preaching to you, but you're filled with the Spirit. Come to the understanding of God and believe in these great revelational truths that we're revealing to you, that you might have faith that will transformate your mind. Not only have you been translated in the Spirit as to an eternal life, but transformate your mind to a projecting of that heavenly treasure into your earthen vessel as to a transfiguration of the change of your very image. Since we've been preaching this, that the hour is here. Look up, the songwriter said, for your redemption draweth nigh. And now all of a sudden, here we are. See, and the time has come around. What are you doing? What have you done? What are you doing for Christ? Are you still in the state of limbo? Have you made any progress? Have you moved up? Have you tried to do anything? Are you really looking forward to anything? Do you have anything on the inside? The Bible said, examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. Check yourself every hour. See if Christ be in you, lest you be reprobates. For if you have not His Spirit, then you're none of His. But if Christ be in you, then are you alive forevermore. And you cannot sin, you cannot die. You're not under the curse, but you're all sealed in now. All sealed in and all ready. We sing the song, Ready for the Bridegroom to Come. And tonight, while we're standing here, have you searched his soul? Have you checked up to see if you are in the Spirit and the Spirit is in you, and that you've got the seal of God tonight? Have you? Now's a good time to check up. Let's sing this little chorus. Are you ready for that bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Ling noon night, are you dressed in spotless white? Are you ready for the bridegroom? One more time. Better get ready for the bride. Remember now. Remember, Jesus said, you know not whether it be the morning of the cock crowing, or you don't know what time it'll be. Just be ready, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. Think of that. It could be 3 o'clock on this side of the hill. Over here in America, 7 hours different or more from here to Israel. See, it could be midnight in one place. It could be the cock crowing in another place. You don't know what it'll be for you on your side of the hill. The thing to do is to be ready. Be also ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man coming. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Maybe morning, noon, or night, but I'm all resting fine, that's why. And I'm ready for the bride. Sing it again. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Could be morning, noon, or night, but we're dressed in fatherless white.
and we're ready for the bride. Sing it again now. Better get ready. Can you give him a wave offering? Could be morning or tonight. Better ready. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom, he's coming. Better get ready for the bridegroom, he's coming. Maybe morning, noon, or night, you better be dressed and follow this one. And get ready for the bride. Sing it again, man. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. Maybe morning, noon, or night, but I'm dressed in fine. And I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. So give me that old-time religion. Old-time religion. Time religion, oh, it's goody. I've got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. Got that old-time religion. Goody enough. You'd better get the old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion. Sing it with me. I've got that old-time religion. Time religion. Old-time religion. Good enough for me. It will take us all to glory. Take us all to glory. Take us all to glory, and it's goody. Oh, give me that old-time religion. Time religion, give me that old. Oh, it's good enough for me. You'd better get the old-time religion. Old-time religion. Oh, it's goody. One more time together. I've got that old-time religion, got that old-time religion, got that old-time religion, and it's good. I love that old-time religion, old-time religion, old-time religion, oh, it's good enough to me. It will do when you are dying. Do when you are dying. Do when you are dying, and it's goody. You'd better get the old-time religion. Old-time religion. Old-time religion, cause it's goody. For it will do when the world's on fire. Do when the world's on fire. Do when the world's on fire, cause it's goody, not for me. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, let's sing another chorus or two, and we're going to let you go. You love the Lord, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, she went forth to tell. Went away singing and others took the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, she went forth to tell. Went away singing and she came back bringing others to this water. Wasn't fun. All right, lift your hands together. Let's close our eyes tonight. Hope you're growing more spiritual.
and thinking more and more on the Lord every day, because the time of His coming is close by. Is there anything lacking in your life? My suggestion is that you do something about it, and that you do something about it right away. Being somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus, for He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. Tread on Anthony Fire. Come home, supper time. We're going home at last. And I was but a boy in days of childhood. I used to play till evening shadows come, then winding down that old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call. Had said of some, come home, come home, it's supper time. Shadows, they're lengthening fast. Come home, come home. It's supper time. We're going home at last. In memories now, I can see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I can hear once more. For the banquet table is ready up in glory, and it's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, come home. Supper time. Shadows, they're lengthening fire. Come home, supper time. We're going home at last. I will pray. Can you lift your hands up and praise the Lord? And I will pray. Let us give Him glory.
But ask Brother Paul Undo to come up and dismiss us. And while Paul is coming, let's just lift our hands and our hearts up to God tonight. And let's, if you're not right with the Lord, be reconciled unto God tonight. Don't wait. Did you know the Bible said, don't even let the sun go down on your wrath. If you have anything against anybody, get it out of your heart. Because the Bible says, unless you forgive men their trespasses from your heart, God will not forgive your trespasses. And if you sinned against anybody, then go to them and make it right. You know, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that mistreat you and that evilly entreat you. And when you revile, don't revile again. The Bible said when Jesus was reviled, he didn't revile again, but he committed himself to the Heavenly Father. See, so don't do unto others as they do to you, but do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. See, love the Lord, love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you, and pray for them that persecute you. Let your good works cause your light to so shine, then men may see that and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We be brothers tonight. We be sisters in the Lord. Walk in the light. You know, you can tell when you're walking in the light and when you're not walking in the light, when you don't see sisters show up to visit with sisters and fellowship sisters in their efforts to do something for God. You know they're walking in their own intellectual understanding, which is darkness, and they're not walking in the light. And when you don't see brothers show up to fellowship with brothers to help the brothers in their efforts, and they're not around to share their enthusiasm as to the publication of the gospel, and they can only just come once in a while, and maybe that's to church, and once in a while, and maybe that's to men's meeting, and once in a while just to say hello or passing through, and they're always busy, but they just love the Lord. They just love the Lord. Know from your pastor that they're walking in darkness and they're intellectually deceived. See, and when a person seems to be religious among you, and the Bible said he bridleth not his tongue, then that man's religion is in vain. And when you backbite with your tongue, see, and when you talebear and cause strife, God hates that. And the Bible said, ye shall not dwell in the holy hill of God. When you get on the telephone, and the only thing that you can think of is to gossip about something that you've heard, or something, say something that somebody has said to carry a tale. Just the only conversation you have, or you're always complaining about your relatives or your friends or your neighbors, or because things isn't like you think they ought to be, or that somebody is doing something for somebody that's not doing something for your somebody or for you the way you think it ought to be. Don't you know you don't have salvation? And the Bible said, he that doeth these things shall not stand in the holy hill of God. For without the gates are fornicators and liars and cheats, robbers and all these that love and make a lie. These shall not enter into the courts of God. So, beloved friend, whatever you do, if you're not right, call on the Lord. Get a conversion. I told some people today, people think they've been converted. You know, the Bible said if you convert a person, you've saved a soul from hell. Conversion is when your mind is completely converted over from the way that you've been going and the way that you've been thinking and the way that you've been talking. And you've been converted over to another mind, another way of life, another way of thinking. And you've got another interest. Your mind is hungering and thirsting in another direction. And your whole conversation, your whole life changes. Your conversion is towards spiritual things, away from natural things. Otherwise, you haven't even been converted. How can you then say that you have the Spirit of God when you've not even been converted? You must first be converted and then receive the Spirit of Christ. And then the Spirit of Christ will enlarge itself within the borders of you. And it will cause you to come to great, mighty understanding in the mysteries of God. And you'll hunger and thirst in such a way
that your heart will be merry and you'll have a continual feast. So then while we're praising the Lord, lift your hands up. We're going to sing this little chorus together that we sing so much. Tonight's certainly a good night to sing it. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more, for the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Lift your hands up and close your eyes now. For time shall be